The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This episode of La Verdad Podcast is brought to you by our friend Sonia Figueroa of CSonia.com.
Hey, B Fig.
What's up?
What's my favorite thing to do in the summer?
Watch baseball.
No. You know, my favorite thing to do is barbecue and family get-togethers, but it's hard to do when I don't have a nice big backyard.
True, which is why we should be reaching out to our chica Sonia if you want to buy a house.
Yeah, actually, Sonia has a ton of experience in helping people find the right home, especially first-time buyers, over 12 years to be exact. So, if you're listening right now and you have the itch on buying or selling, you need to contact Sonia Figueroa. V-Fig, how can you do that?
Easy. Just visit www.csonia.com. That is www.seesonia.com. Or just search for her online. She also speaks Spanish.
Habla español, mi gente, and back to the show.
You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of La Verdad Podcast, and this is your host Christian, and I'm riding solo today. We had to do an interview during the week. One of the things that we've noticed is that it's been one hell of a week. If you're listening to the podcast, you're probably going through some crazy stuff right now. But before we even start the podcast and the discussion, because we do have a special guest today, I did want to ask you guys and urge you guys to go ahead and share our page, share this podcast with a friend and a friend of a friend, and go ahead and like and subscribe to this podcast. Why should you do that? I don't know. It's just, it gives us more fuel to keep giving you more material. We do this out of our love for the arts, out of our love for the culture and tradition. But we want to know that you're listening. We want to give you guys and feed you guys with some awesome information. So go ahead and subscribe to any of our social media platforms. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram as at La Verdad LTD. You can find us in the podcast world as La Verdad Podcast. So if you're using the podcast app that comes with your iPhone, go ahead and search for La Verdad Podcast. If you're using another audio podcast app such as Stitcher or the Google Play app, you can find us there at La Verdad Podcast. Also, we're also available on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube.com and search for La Verdad Podcast, you'll see a lot of these recordings in a video format. So perhaps you don't like just listening to the podcast and you want to see the beautiful faces of V-Fig, Nati, and the ugly face of myself, you can go on to YouTube and search for La Verdad Podcast. So with us today, we have a dear friend of mine, also a very long time hashtag Verdadero, someone who's been following the podcast from the beginning, kind of giving us ideas, giving us fuel. We have he's also a PhD student at University of New Mexico, also an instructor there at University of New Mexico. We have Rafael Martinez with us. How are you, bro?
Buenas tardes. It's a pleasure to be on the show. As you mentioned, I followed the podcast for a cool minute now, and I love the work that you're doing. So I'm happy to be on the show, and I'm grateful to be on the show.
Thank you, bro, man. But one of the things, as I mentioned, and I opened up the podcast, I said that we're definitely going through one hell of a week. It's been draining. It's been one of those weeks where we've been hit with things in our own nation as well as our patria. So, for example, one of the conversation that we're going to have today is in regards to the issues that have been happening with DACA, which is the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And then we've also been getting hit with different hurricanes, tropical storms. So Puerto Rico right now yesterday it went through a bit of the storm. It was supposed to be a category 5. So for those of you guys listening to us from Puerto Rico, our thoughts and prayers are out with you. If you need anything, if you have any If anything is needed, just feel free to contact us. We'll definitely find a way to help out. But I mean, I don't know if you agree with me, bro, but man, it's been one crazy week.
It's definitely been a crazy week. It's been an emotional week. It's been a tiring week. It's been a difficult week, but you know, at the same time, it's been beautiful to see people come together, and it's beautiful to see the different people that we have supporting all the different causes out there. So, you know, we try to find the positive in within all the negative, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's been one of those things. So at the beginning of the week, I want to say we had gotten, well, this has been kind of circling for a while now that the president of the United States, Donald Trump, was going to kind of do something about the DACA. And for those of you guys who don't know what DACA is, don't worry. That's why we have Rafael Martinez in this podcast. He's going to kind of go through a little bit more into detail what DACA is, but for short, it's an acronym for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And there were some talks about it, about perhaps banning it, getting rid of it, overriding it, whatever way you want to call it. And eventually it has happened. They have given, the Senate a couple of months to kind of resolve what's happening with this bill that was introduced by President Barack Obama. And it has created panic, I think, within our community. And I'll let Rafael talk a little bit more about it. So when you first heard about it, or actually, let's start from the beginning. What is DACA?
For sure. Great question, Christian. And so, just to give you a few quick pointers or a few rundown of what DACA is, essentially, DACA is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It was instituted by President Barack Obama, announced on June 6th of 2012, and it was done through an executive order by the president again, basically granting young immigrant individuals the opportunity to a work permit and the opportunity to be basically low priority deportable individuals. And this was given for a period of 2 years. In other words, your work permit was good for 2 years, and you were able to renew it indefinitely for 2 years while the program was instituted. And so again, that was instituted in 2012. And just literally a few days ago on Tuesday, under the current president, that program has essentially come to an end. And basically, what DACA was, when I say young people, the important thing to note is that the people that qualified for this program, you had to have been in the United States before the announcement by President Obama on June 6, 2012. Okay. And you had to have been within the ages of 15 to 30. So this is how the United States government defined immigrant youth. That was the age 15 to age 30. And so essentially, if you do the math, with a two-year period renewal, since DACA was instituted in 2012, we're now in 2017. Essentially, we've had a total of three renewal processes by individuals who applied from the beginning of the program to essentially now the end of the program. So three renewals, each renewal for application of consideration for DACA was $495. So you're talking about individuals paying close to $500 every 2 years. And then if you multiply that times three times the renewal process, for up to 800,000 immigrant youth that qualified for the program, you will have the math of how much immigrant youth have contributed financially, economically to this country through this program.
And what were some of the benefits that were included in DACA?
For sure. So as I mentioned, the two main benefits being that you would have a work permit for 2 years that was renewable. And then the other one was low priority in terms of deportation. Okay. So you know, in order to qualify for DACA, you also had to have a clean record, meaning you did not have any misdemeanors or any obviously federal or big crimes on your record, essentially. And that's how you were able to apply and renew it. But also if, you know, you did, let's say, for example, have a traffic violation or something, then, you know, that was low priority in the sense that, you know, you would not be deportable or you shouldn't be deportable for minor infractions, considering that you had DACA. The other benefit that DACA brought along with it was that for the first time, many of the immigrant youth that qualified for the program were also able to apply for extended parole, which basically granted these individuals the opportunity to travel back to their country or travel abroad to any other country for a certain amount of a period of time. So under extended parole, individuals were able to apply to be able to go visit family in case of an emergency. Mm-hmm. They were also able to apply under educational motives, like, for example, travel abroad or something like that. Yeah. And then they were also able to qualify, you know, for work. So if your company or your business or something needed business outside of the U.S., you could also qualify for that. So essentially, you know, those were some of the bigger benefits. Some of the people that did take advantage of extended parole were able to be reunited and see their family members back home. You know, people who hadn't seen their family over 20 years were finally reunited with their families. But also people were able to travel abroad, were able to study abroad, and be able to, you know, take advantage of some of those great benefits that DACA offered.
Yeah, I know I've heard a couple of friends of mine that were actually going through the whole, that were part of DACA, and they were grateful that they were able to visit family after so many years. Some of these people never even met grandfathers or grandparents that lived in their homeland. So being able to partake in this situation was kind of like getting closer to a dream come true, right? So, which is why they called it the Dreamers, right? One of the questions that I've had, and I've actually seen a couple of different people say different things about it, but if I'm not mistaken, one of the things that was taken away immediately was the option to be able to travel abroad. Is that correct?
That's correct, Christian.
If you still have if you still have DACA, right, and you're up for, you haven't been, because if you still have DACA, it still goes to you till it's expired, right?
Correct. So essentially, with the announcement on Tuesday, the memo that was delivered by Homeland Security indicated that the first thing to go was extended parole. So current DACA holders would not be able to apply, or extended parole would not be considered for DACA recipients. The other thing that we learned through the Homeland Security memo was that essentially the program would be phased out. So what that meant was that mm-hmm. folks who still have their current work permit would be able to hold on to that work permit until it expires. So for example, if your work permit expires next year, in 2018, you're still good. The other thing that we learned from that specific language that they used was that if your work permit expires before March 5th of 2018, that you're still able to apply for a renewal work permit, which means you still have 2 more years to go, or 2 years available in your work permit status. And so, for example, folks who do currently have their work permit, their DACA, if your work permit expires before March 5th of 2018, you are still able to apply for a renewal process, will be considered and will be granted that work permit. And folks who are currently undergoing their renewal process, they will also be receiving the work permit. So essentially, we have the ability for folks to have their work permit expired all the way until 2019, essentially. I myself was a DACA beneficiary, And my work permit, for example, expires at the end of 2018. So essentially, I have a year to plan accordingly and seeing essentially what happens in terms of legislation, see if there is anything else that comes up with in this next 6 month period to qualify for anything else.
Exactly. And thank you for clarifying that, because we have seen a number of people, you know, every time that something bad like this happens or confusion or chaos or preocupamiento, right? When people get worried about their status, whenever anything like that happens, you always have your scammers out there. You always have your people out there that are feeding you false information. So it's great to know that, you know, I had some people like tripping out and completely getting worried because they thought that they were going to get deported the next day. I know there's been rumors out there that they were going to use the DACA database for, you know, with ICE. There's been rumors out there that, you know, it expired, now you can't do much. And I think that's our goal y nuestro deber, right, to inform our people of what's actually happening, what are some of the things that you could do, and what are some of the places that you could go to obtain more information. I know that there's been a couple of resources out there, and you could probably get more into detail on that, of actual lawyers that are helping out people, perhaps agencies. Do you know of any agencies outside of the New Mexico region that perhaps can give people more information on the DACA procedures?
Claro que sí. Y como tú mencionas, the important thing is that we stay calm in these situations, that we look at the facts, that we look at our individual cases first and foremost, and really be able to take this time to reflect and to plan accordingly. You know, it's with our work permits still being able to exist, essentially, what that does is buys all of us a time frame to be able to plan accordingly and to take the correct procedures. And so my suggestion on that level in terms of where to go for those resources is definitely, you know, all folks should always have or be able to seek out immigration law or immigration lawyer, essentially. Like that should be the number one thing, to be able to see what you qualify for, see if there's anything in place, if you have very particular questions. The biggest thing that we always say in El Movimiento is do not go to notorios. A lot of times, one of the biggest industries in terms of scamming our immigrant communities han sido nuestros notorios, the notaries, I can never pronounce that word.
Notaries.
Going to an immigrant lawyer and really being informed on what the situation is. As far as national organizations or anything like that, there's definitely plenty of great organizations doing work at different levels. There's youth-based organizations, there's long-term organizations. My biggest recommendation, I always say, is look at your statewide coalitions. There's tons of statewide coalitions in each state and each one of your areas. A lot of times that I feel a lot of our youth, a lot of our families feel more comfortable in the statewide coalitions than particularly looking at national organizations, because many of our national organizations are doing amazing work fighting at the federal levels and putting pressure on legislators and the president and so forth. But many of the times, it's important for us to be connected to those statewide coalitions, statewide organizations and groups, because whatever we don't qualify at the national level, we definitely need to be informed of what we also do qualify for at the state and local levels, because many of the times what's happened in immigration law and immigration policy has been that the inaction of the federal government in terms of this topic is led states to take action in their own hands. So for example, in California, while we don't have a federal DREAM Act, we do have, for example, a California DREAM Act. And so that gives certain resources, certain rights and privileges to immigrant youth and immigrant families where the federal government has not taken action. Mm-hmm. So that's why my particular recommendation is for folks to get involved in the statewide coalitions and in local groups and organizations that are able to inform them, not only at the federal level, but definitely what are some of the resources and advantages at their local and state levels.
And I know it's been one of those talks that has taken media in the last couple of days. For example, here in Chicago, in one of our last podcasts, we were talking a little bit more on how Chicago is a sanctuary city. So on top of it being a sanctuary city, for those who perhaps, you know, the dreamers that might be worried, Chicago also does have free, it's one of the only places that has free community college for those who have, I believe it's a 2.8 or above in high school. So if you score a 2.8 GPA in high school and you want to go to community college, it will be free no matter if you're undocumented or not. So it's one of those things that have come out in the media lately. Our mayor here has been very adamant of keeping this a sanctuary city, keeping it safe for a lot of our people, but also giving resources to those who perhaps are scared that they're going to lose it. One of the crazy things, too, is that, like I've seen in the media, is a lot of the DACA recipients are members or beneficiaries, right, are people who are doing extraordinary things in the community. For example, I know a lot of DACA beneficiaries personally, right? Mm-hmm. And those are people that I look up to, man. Like, they have these, it's one of those things that I've noticed, right? Es que lo querían tanto, they wanted it so much for so long that they get it, and they're taking advantage of it, and they're working with it, right? We're using it to the best of their advantage. And you see these people becoming, you know, like, for example, you're getting your PhD. We have other people that I've seen have gone from being, you know, getting 4.0 GPAs in college to becoming advisors to doing great things in the community. And it's a shame. It's a shame to see that these great individuals are being, you know, have to go through all these issues. And a lot of the individuals that are young were young at the times that they came to the U.S. They didn't have the choice to come to the U.S. or go through this issue. And now it's kind of like they have to pay for it. What are your thoughts on that?
Claro que sí. Y como este podcast se llama La Verdad, you know, trying to keep it real, this is what really shocked the announcement on Tuesday, right, about DACA ending. It really, whatever angle you look at it, it does not make any sense in terms of the decision that was taken on Tuesday. As you mentioned and highlight, we have individuals who are making incredible contributions to this country at every point level, essentially. Now, you know, because of DACA, we have folks who have received the highest amount of education. We have people who are teaching in our communities. We have police officers. We have people who've gone to war for this country, army people, so forth and so forth. I mean, like, really, the end of contributions is just astounding and impressive, you know. We've made every contributions, even with, for example, Hurricane Harvey that just hit Texas. You know, some of the first responders in the police force and within relief efforts and medics were among DACA recipients, you know. Uh-huh. So these are people that are making contributions that came forward to this government and told them, here is our information, here is all of our records, here is who we are in a piece of paper. And yep. Clearly the government recognized us and believed that we were not a threat to this country, that we were not a threat, but rather we were contributors. And it just feels like a slap in the face.
Exactly.
to have given so much of ourselves and ourselves to this country, and for us to be, you know, basically just turned away, essentially. You know, obviously the current administration mentioned that a big motive for DACA coming to an end was upholding constitutional law and making sure that that it was our Congress who passed the laws and, you know, essentially given the Congress 6 months to pass something for DACA recipients or essentially immigrant communities overall. And so, you know, now we have to go back into the waiting game. Now we have to play the political game. But, you know, essentially one of the things that we have to highlight is that, you know, part of the discussion about DACA needs to be not just about DACA, not just about those individuals who we see in the public have made great contributions, but we also have to think about our parents, our immigrant parents who I personally and most of our community considers to be the original dreamers, you know. They're the ones who made the sacrifice for us to come. And at the same time, while we're talking about DACA and we're talking about immigration, many of the times the rhetoric or the narrative that gets constructed leaves our parents out, leaves our adults out of the conversation. And, you know, we also need to talk about immigration reform in general, because our parents, you know, they're not necessarily doing some of these great things, but at the same time, our government and ourselves, we haven't given them the opportunity for them to have the resources to do these great things that we know that they are already doing.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up, too, because it's also been one of those things that people have mentioned. You know, it's what happens to the rest. And I guess what kills me the most, and I'll be honest with you, is the whole political game that they've played with this, with people's lives, right? I feel like sometimes our administration, or not just our administration, but people in power forget why they're in power, right? Or how they got to that position of power. So a lot of times, and I've talked about this many times with family and friends, excuse me, is that, you know, people get into the office, and originally when they get into the office, they're for the people, right? They're so close to the people. They know what's going on. They know the daily struggle. Then they start becoming career politicians or whatnot and forget exactly what it is that brought them in power. And then they start playing with people's lives, not just on this DACA issue, but I mean, we could go in and debate about healthcare and all these other things that are happening in the government that, you know, mess up a huge chunk of our people's lives, you know. So that's one of the biggest things that I've noticed, and my personal opinion behind it was kind of more of like a slap in the face from our administration saying, hey, I have the power to stop what this other president did. I have the power to say no, and I really don't care about your people, right? So figure it out, get it done. And then in a couple hours later or whatnot, in order to clean their hands, para limpiarse las manos, right, he goes and says, hey, you know, I actually did it because I want, you know, the other people to start working on it and getting something done in the next 6 months. And that is just it gets me sick to my stomach, because it's people's lives that you're playing with. For example, you have people that have never even been back home. Perhaps they don't even know anyone back home. They don't, you know, home is where they're at right now. Home is the U.S. for them. And if they get deported, they, you know, like you said, you know, you have probably like a year to come up with a plan on what the hell you're gonna do. You know, where you're gonna put your money, what country you're gonna go to, or are you gonna go back home? It's a very stressful situation, and especially that these people are actually doing stuff for the community as opposed to doing bad in the community. Now, go ahead.
Let me add a quick thought to that thought that you mentioned, Christian. You know, in terms of politicians playing with people's lives, you're definitely accurate about that. And just to add to that dimension, if you think about the years that DACA has been implemented, which is 5 years, essentially that's the time frame of usually completion of a bachelor's degree. The reason I bring that up is because many of the young people currently who were benefiting from DACA have never lived their adult lives without knowing what living without DACA means. In other words, they've never really had to live the realities of being an immigrant in this country as a young adult. And so what the U.S. government there is telling them is, like, you no longer have those opportunities and benefits. So, you know, how does that student or how does that community member say, oh, you know, I used to work at this hospital, I used to work at this school, now I'm going to go work at McDonald's, now I'm going to go work, you know, construction. In other words, many of these young individuals, obviously there's the fear and we're playing with their lives because they've never had to live without DACA in a 5-year period. And that's a very frightening thing. But, you know, it's also, you know, kind of sending our immigrant youth community back to square one, essentially.
Yeah. And one of the questions that I was going to ask was, prior to the DACA DACA happening, what was there before for a young person? There was nothing, right?
Correct. There was nothing. And up to DACA, or the main reason why President Obama passed DACA as an executive order, was because what we had the promise of before was the DREAM Act. And so the DREAM Act had been around or originally introduced since 2001. And since 2001, it's actually gone through basically five different introductions at the different levels of legislation, and always falling short of being passed. And so, you know, folks became identified as DREAMers through the DREAM Act originally. And so that was the promise of legislation that was going to give immigrant youth a path to citizenship that never fulfilled. And so the last rendition of the DREAM Act in 2011 is what essentially left President Barack Obama with no other alternative than take matters into his own hands and essentially pass it through an executive order. Because, you know, our Congress had not been able to be successful at doing that. So prior to DACA, there was nothing, essentially. You know, many of our immigrant youth, if they wanted to study, they had to work these difficult jobs, different immigrant-based jobs, while going to school in the afternoon. I myself, for example, I did my undergrad career in a total of 8 years, right? And when I tell people that it took me 8 years to graduate from my undergrad, they're always like, what was wrong with you? Like, how come you just didn't graduate? Like, did you fail all your classes? I said, no. If you look at my academic transcript, you will see that I have one of the largest academic transcripts in probably undergrad career, essentially. Mm-hmm. And the reason I didn't graduate is because what would I graduate to? You know, there was nothing waiting for me. There was no jobs waiting for me on the other side. And you know, for me, that's what education has represented. It's represented a safe haven in terms of, you know, essentially all we're given now, not having any protection, not having an opportunity, all we're given is a sense of buying time, essentially, you know, and that's what it feels like. It feels like without any protection or any opportunity, essentially what our communities are left with is buying time until who knows what is going to happen, essentially. And that could be a very scary thought. But again, that's what I mean. We need to be self-reflective as immigrant individuals and be able to plan accordingly what that looks like for each one of us.
Exactly. So as far as the people as a collective of what we should be doing, what are some of your suggestions in order to get this into Congress and in order for them to pass this? What do you think will be a proactive approach?
For sure. The very first thing that every single one of us should be doing, like immediately right now, is putting pressure on our state senators. You know, those are the individuals and the folks that are going to go to Congress and, you know, essentially work this out and try to pass something. Last night we had two senators who are proposing the DREAM Act essentially come out on camera and say, They want to pass something immediately. They want to have something done or ready to go by the end of this month. The only way that they're going to be able to do that successfully, these are two individuals that are obviously proposing the DREAM Act and obviously support of the new rendition of the DREAM Act. But we need to make sure that everybody in Congress is supportive of this. So that starts by calling our senators. That starts by putting pressure on our politicians. That's something that every single one of us could do, essentially, you know, find your state senators and start making those calls right away. And then more at the different levels that we operate. So if you're at a university, if you're at a company, if you're in a particular, you know, industry of some sort, where you might have current, you know, DACA recipients in your workforce, so to speak, is how do you translate or how do you transfer those jobs into still jobs, but, you know, essentially payment through other options? And of course, I'm not speaking of doing anything illegally or doing something wrong. But for example, at the university level, one of the biggest things that Sanctuary Campus Movement has been pushing for at the national level, but at every institution, has been how do we transfer those jobs, those GATA positions or undergraduate positions, into fellowships, into scholarships. In other words, students are still getting paid, are still receiving financial contributions by the departments, by the institution, without necessarily calling it a job. And so again, it really takes each one of us to say that we stand with immigrant youth, with DACA recipients, but not just saying those words, but turning those words into creative action that represents true protection and true resources for our immigrant communities.
That's perfect, man. And I couldn't have said it any better than that. I feel that one of the biggest things that I wanted to do with today's interview was kind of, or today's discussion was kind of just bring up how did it start, what it is, and what could we do to fight it. And I want to be very clear that it's not just Latinos that have benefit from DACA. There's a huge range of different ethnicities, cultures out there, and people out there that have received the benefits of DACA. It just so happens that a lot of the ones that are vocal are the Latinos, right? The Latino community. But also one of the biggest things that we've seen within our own culture, and you could probably attest to this, Rafael, is that we tend to stay quiet and we tend to always want to ride the wave and be like, oh, I go, lo ponemos las manos del Señor, lo ponemos las manos de Dios, right? And a lot of times God's giving us the tools to do something about it and we don't. So I think with today's podcast, one of the biggest things that we wanted to do was to give you the information, tell you what's happening, and tell you ways to fight it. If you believe in the cause, if you believe that these individuals should have the ability to the rights that they should have, you know, get in the cause, fight, figure some, talk to your senators, just do one thing here and there to try to help someone else out. I always look at things in the perspective of those that are hurting, right? So I always sit down and I put myself in their shoes. And if I was in their shoes, I would like to see someone that will be able to back me up. I would like to see a fellow citizen also back me up as well. So, Rafael, you know, it's been a short kind of detailed discussion, but I really do want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this. I know you've been really busy lately, being that you are also a DACA beneficiary, and trying to enlighten other people on what it means to be, what's happening and what ways we could fight it. So I really wanted to thank you for coming on to the show today.
No, gracias a ti, Cristian. Thanks to all the crew and La Verdad for your podcast and for speaking truth to action. I agree with you that I hope that this podcast serves as a call to action to all the folks and individuals who are listening to this. And education is a form of action. So, you know, this is a first step in getting educated and getting the facts. And then how do we turn those into action? And each one of us has the ability and power to to be able to turn that education that we receive into power and into action. So I thank you all for having me on the show, on the podcast. And, you know, I'm definitely going to continue to tune in and listen to all the great topics that you all present.
We really appreciate it. Now, Rafael, do you have any social media or email that you would like to plug? I mean, if not, I understand. But if you have any links or anything like that, do you want to share?
Claro que sí. You all could find me. My Instagram, Twitter, and all that good stuff is at Unido1931. And you could find me on Facebook under my name, Rafael A. Martinez. I always try to share information there as well, and share into different thoughts, you know, different ideas. So you could find me there, and, you know, definitely connect with us as well.
I appreciate it, man. I can say la lucha. A lot of people been using the term the si se puede, but I also want to use the term quien dijo miedo, right? So let's not be scared. There's also a lucha out there. Let's unite with our people, and not just with those. Like I mentioned earlier, put yourself in those shoes, and I'm sure you will want to have some type of help. So let's do something, mi gente. Once again, I appreciate you coming on by, and peace, and God bless.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.